The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is the Daily Connect Podcast. Great to be here, and I hope you are well today. Thank you so much for downloading. Coming up, we're going to be in the forum today. We're talking about blindness versus partial sight. Katie Doyle and Julie Woods joins us for that conversation a bit later. Also, we are going to be finding out about the latest quick poll from RNIB, and we're also finding out about a great new game you can play at home with the family called Toilet Trouble. Yes, trust me, it's a board game. Don't get too worried. First, though, we're going to find out about a campaign that took place in Ealing against shared spaces. Rosemary was one of the campaigners who got involved, a local resident in Ealing, and helped RNIB fight back against the shared space scheme that was proposed, meaning that ultimately the scheme was scrapped. Great news for the campaign, great news for Rosemary and the residents. Here she is talking to Alan Russell about why she got involved.
My husband would say I've got the personality of a Rottweiler, a nice Rottweiler, a friendly Rottweiler, but I don't like things being put into place without proper consultation and without the proper use of the whole community being involved.
So are you a guide dog owner or a white cane user?
I'm a white cane user, but I have got some sight.
So presumably, or obviously, you know, shared space environments like this are difficult to navigate and potentially dangerous as well.
Yes, very. It's not actually on my road. I'm a turning from the road of the proposed shared pathway, but because of the geography of my area, it's the road that I use for catching buses, catching trains, going to the doctors, going to the shops, and actually use it much more than other roads in the locality. What set the alarm bells ringing was the fact that we've got quite a vibrant residents association, of which I am a member and my husband delivers the magazines, and they were alerted to the fact that there was going to be traffic consultation, which included the shared pathway use. And so because I'm registered blind, I thought that I would get involved in campaigning against it.
You mentioned the consultation there, Rosemary, but the problem, I think, there straight away was it wasn't accessible despite the council having access to the register that could tell them who has sight loss.
Exactly. The consultation didn't include people that with sight loss because it was just a leaflet pushed through the letterboxes, but equally, because, as I've said, the geographic layout of the area means that lots of people in the adjoining roads also use that road, they should have also been consulted, and therefore we decided the consultation was illegal.
What action did you take?
I personally contacted the local councillors, one of whom I know very well, also our local MP, and through the councillors I was able to access the officer at the town hall that was involved in this actual project. I am able to use an iPad, so I was accessing them through that by emails, but I also backed it up with some phone calls as well. There was an event. There is a local ward forum which meets three times a year, and the first one was held early on when the consultation first happened and the legality of the consultation was brought up, and they promised there would be a second one. Lots and lots of residents were encouraged to go to that, so that was a big thing.
So yourself, along with others, took action because of this proposal, which, you know, we'll reiterate again, wasn't accessible if you're blind or partially sighted to get all that info. What was the outcome?
The outcome's been brilliant. Although they're carrying on with the traffic order, the shared pathway has definitely been dropped. Absolutely wonderful news. That's not in any little effect from the RNIB. There was Samantha Fothergill, whom we met. The Residents Association secretary organised a meeting that Samantha and her colleague came to. And as a result of that, they wrote a very strong letter against the equal opportunities and the consultation being faulty, etc. So the local residents, myself, are grateful to Samantha Fothergill and RNIB's involvement.
So it really shows, Rosemary, you know, getting involved with RNIB, getting involved with the campaigns can and does make a difference.
Yes, you need to make yourself aware of the legal side of things, so that you're not just saying, I don't like a shared pathway because it makes me feel uncomfortable and unsafe and all of the obvious things. You need to get involved or find out about the legalities of things and where they've made blunders, really. I think that's what swung it.
That's Rosemary speaking there to Alan Russell following the successful end of a campaign to stop a shared space campaign in Ealing.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Let's get into the forum then, and today we're talking to Julie Woods and Kiri Doyle on the subject of being blind versus partially sighted. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're talking today about the issue of blindness and partial sight and the differences between both. Now, Julie, you're in a rather interesting position here because you have been fully sighted, then partially sighted, then completely blind. And I remember a while back we spoke about this, and I remember reading a 7-word story about you and your view on that whole experience. And your 7-word story was sighted, partially sighted, blind, happy, sad, happy. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I know it sounds a bit odd, but I guess really when I was partially sighted from the age of 18 to 31, I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I didn't belong in the sighted world and I didn't belong in the blind world. So as a consequence, I didn't receive any services. I didn't get to hang out with people that were just like me because I didn't know where to find them. So it wasn't until I went blind at the age of 31 that I moved away from the sighted world towards the blind world. And there was a group of people that were suddenly like me, people that couldn't see. And I found that very liberating. And behind that community of people too was also support services that enabled me to, you know, be the best blind person I could be.
Okay. In your case, Kerry, you are blind and you have been since birth. So going by what you've heard from Julie, that the suggestion is that you must be happy being blind. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds really odd, doesn't it? Yeah. You know what, though? Yes, absolutely. I am, to be fair. And that's how, you know, I commented on the Facebook and said, you know, I'd rather be blind than partially sighted. And I don't mean that in any, you know, offensive or disrespectful way whatsoever. But I think it's just, say, it's kind of handy to just be able to say, oh, yeah, no, I can't see. That's it now, you know. And there's no sort of like, can you see this out? Can you see that? Or maybe you see that at night or in the day or something, you know. And there's no kind of ambiguity there. Like, I'm just blind and I'm just blind, you know. Yes, I think I'm much happier being blind than either if I'd lost it or being partially sighted. Absolutely.
I mean, Julie, in your case, you know, being partially sighted, if I can take you back to that time, what was it about being partially sighted that, in your words, made you sad?
Well, Kerry's touched on it, actually. It's around people not understanding what partial sight is all about. It's very hard to describe to someone that you can see something, you know, close up but not far away, and you can kind of see around the outside, but your central vision's not very good. So it's very difficult to explain that, and I just found it easier to go underground, basically, because I met such opposition around what it was. You know, why couldn't I get glasses? That was a common thing I kept on getting. It's like, I'd rather actually end up not talking about it. And I guess that did drive me underground. And once I became blind, of course, I could no longer hide it. So it was that level of understanding, as Kerry talked about, people get total blindness and they get total sightedness, but they don't get much in between.
So is that a problem? Well, it clearly is a problem that people face. I mean, I know this myself because I'm partially sighted, and I do come to this question with lots of questions of my own, because, you know, it's interesting to me. I've often wondered whether or not it would be easier just to have no sight. But I often think that's quite a horrible view as well, because you don't want to think in those terms, do you?
But that's not horrible to me, or possibly to Kerry. It's because when you release that, when you let go of what you can't see very well, you're then able to embrace your other senses. And for me, that's where I think I found my success, not in the fact that I can't see anymore, but the fact that I can smell, hear, taste and touch. And that that's the way I now interpret my world. And I just have moved into another way of doing things in different ways and receiving information through those other senses. So almost letting go that of the sight has enabled me to tap into another way of existing.
I just want to pick up on that point you both make around attitudes. Do you find, Kerry, that people don't ask you a lot about your sight because it's clear to other people, or you make it clear to other people, you just can't see anything?
I guess people as well, people don't want to ask because they're afraid to ask the wrong stuff. They're afraid of asking the questions in the wrong way. I've even had it where people, and I'm sure Julie's experienced it, people won't even use the words, you know, did you see such and such on the television last night? Did you watch this on the TV? And I'm like, sure, I watch television. What are you talking about? You know, like, I mean, I like Friends as much as the next person, kind of thing. And so people are scared. And I find as well a lot, people won't, say when I've been in the workplace and stuff before, people won't approach you to even have a conversation and say, hi, morning, how are you? Because they don't know what to say. So it's like, oh, well, I don't know what to say to you, so I just won't say anything at all.
Yes, I've kind of countered that because I'm a speaker and I go out and tell my story. So I teach all my audiences how to meet and greet a blind person. So it's hello, Julie, it's Stephen from RNIB Radio or whatever. So it's kind of encouraging that interaction because my mother says it's very easy to walk past you, you know. I mean, that's what Kerry's talking about, yeah, because it's very easy for people to pass us by and kind of slip on. And yeah, you do find often that there's an uncomfortableness around blindness, and that's why I do encourage people to come up and say hello, use my name, tell me who they are, so that they feel they're on the front foot a bit more than if they didn't have any skills or confidence to actually come up and say hello. So I mean, you're constantly educating people about how to interact with a blind person, so you know, you're always on duty.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you to both of you. Stick around, though, because more chat to come as we continue the forum here on the Daily Connect podcast.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, let's get details on the latest quick poll from RNIB. Here's Claire Atworth with the details.
Hi, everyone. It's Claire here from RNIB's involvement team, and I'd like to invite you to take part in our new Connect quick poll. Now, for those of you who maybe haven't done our quick polls before, it's pretty much exactly what it says on the tin. Every fortnight, we run a survey asking for your opinions on a different subject. Some are more serious, some are lighthearted, but we use the results to inform or shape the work of RNIB. So it's a really quick and easy way of getting involved and sharing your experiences with us. Now this fortnight, our topic is, aptly enough, Christmas shopping. We'd like to hear how you tackle it. Maybe you quite literally had it wrapped up months ago, or perhaps you're putting it off until the last possible moment. We'd also like to hear how your sight loss has affected your experiences of shopping generally, both online and in store. To take part in the poll, go to www.surveymonkey.co.uk/r/connect-quick-poll. Or just Google RNIB Connect Quick Poll for a quick search. Or you can share your experiences over the phone. Call the team on 0303 1234 555.
Thank you, Claire.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Let's get back into the forum then. We're talking about being blind and being partially sighted and the differences between both experiences. We're with Julie Woods and Kerry Doyle. And, you know, it's interesting, Julie, I know you've said a lot on this programme before about, you know, the positivity around being blind. So in your case, it's good to be blind?
Yeah, come on to the other side. It's not. Yeah. I met a woman the other day. She came and heard me read a book in Braille, a challenge that I was doing at the libraries, and she's approaching 70 and she's going blind. And I said to her, you know, the worst moment for me was when I knew what was happening in my left eye was about to happen in my right. And that's the hard part. So being blind is a lot easier than going blind.
Interesting distinction. And obviously, Kerry, you in a sense don't have that experience because you've always been blind.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. I mean, I've always been this way. So it's funny because I've been around a group of people before and we were having like a discussion about just being blind and going blind and all that. And it was really, really difficult actually for me to be in that discussion because so many of the people were like really kind of angry and sad and, you know, being blind is like the worst thing ever. And I'm like, oh, come on, lads, it's not that bad. You know, it's fine, you know, like, and it made me really uncomfortable. I was like, I can't listen to this. It makes me so sad because it's like, it's just not the, we are so fortunate in so many ways. You know, we can hear to talk to you, we can listen to music, we can still watch TV like everyone else does, maybe just a wee bit different, you know, so we can do most things just a little differently. And it makes me sad when people are, you know, really sad about being blind because there are so many worse things to be.
Is that what makes this awkward as a discussion generally? I mean, even within our own community, as we call the blind and partially sighted world as a community together, does it make it more awkward because everybody has so many different experiences? Everyone's at different stages. Some people, like myself, are on a path to, well, the same as yesterday because, in theory, my eye condition shouldn't change. So what I've been given isn't great. It's about 30% useful vision. So that's what I've got. But you guys were given, in your case, Kerry, nothing. And then, you know, Julie, over a period of time, you lost all of it. You know, we're all at such different points. Is it hard, therefore, to come together as a community on that basis? Because, you know, when you listen to you, Kerry, we think there might be people who might think, well, hang on a minute, you know, that's not a fair representation of being blind or going blind.
I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I don't know. I just kind of think, to me, and I don't know what Julie feels, it's an inconvenience. Can I say inconvenience with a capital I at times? You know, it really is. But it is not. I think I could be so many worse things. I count myself lucky that it's only a sensory disability that I have and that it's only my vision that I've not got. So, and also, you know, I've got my dog, so I think that's kind of one of the privileges of not being able to see is that I get to work with him all the time, and I've got to, you know, help so many people do different things with technology and all of this kind of stuff. So I've done a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't me. So I don't find it a massive thing. And I just really quickly as well, I do kind of think we are, all of us are kind of society's test because people don't know how to react to us, as Julie has kind of touched on. So I think we are society's test. Every time we go outside our houses and we interact with people, we help them to understand that it isn't such a bad thing and how to interact with us, etc.
So it's important to promote that then.
I wouldn't say I actively do it. I in the same way that Julie doesn't. Julie's just herself, I'm just myself. So but I think it's important to be positive as much as we can, yeah.
Mm. I mean, Julie, from your perspective, you seem a very happy person, and I wouldn't ever want to take that away from you, but, you know, you seem such a positive person about things. But there must be days, I imagine, where, you know, you will remember the days you could see something, you might be trying to do something, and it frustrates you. Does that still happen to you, or have you just written that off?
I think I've written that off, because that's a loser's approach to I want to focus on what I can do. So if I'm going to focus on what I can't do the whole time, what kind of existence is that going to be? I don't find that's going to be very helpful. So I do try, and I mean, yeah, sure, sometimes I get frustrated. I get most frustrated with people's attitudes when they think that we can't do stuff, and
yeah,
the only thing we can't do is see. You know, people think that we can't boil an egg or bake a cake or, you know, use a computer, use a telephone, use a cell phone. There are so many things that sighted people don't think that blind people can do. And to me, that's just about getting out there and doing that stuff and educating them. But, you know, that's a big job.
Mm. Well, I appreciate your time. I thank you for your honesty as well. And, you know, I thank you for your positivity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, before we go, just one more thing, and that is a new game you can play with your family at Christmas time. Here's Roland Myers with the details.
Looking through the RNIB catalogue of products, you'll sometimes find mainstream items that have been modified to make them more user-friendly for someone with little or no sight. And one such game they're currently selling is a version of Hasbro's family game, Toilet Trouble, which they've adapted so that the toilet roll dice, more on that in a moment, displays large black numbers against a white background and raised dots for tactile readers to identify the number that's been rolled. Now, to put all that into context, we spoke to Claire Grant from RNIB, who explained how Toilet Trouble works.
Well, Toilet Trouble has actually been appearing in a large number of stores at the moment. It's a game that is kind of like Russian roulette, but it's a bit more family friendly, shall we say. And the idea is that the Toilet Trouble game is essentially a small plastic toilet that sits in front of you, and you can play with two or more players. And what happens is it has a dice in the form of a toilet paper roll that you have to roll. So you roll the toilet paper and it's either going to come up with the number 1, 2, or 3. And of course, this will be fully tactile as well. So anybody can play. And if I've rolled a 2, for example, I have to flush the toilet twice. And the fun of the game is there is water in the bowl of the toilet. So what happens is I have to flush that toilet chain twice and hope that I don't get wet. So if I don't get wet from the toilet spraying at me, I then rotate it round to the next person who wants to play, and they will do the same thing again. And basically the aim of the game is to see if you can get to the end of it without getting wet.
So it really is tactile. When it comes to being wet, you can't get much more kind of physical and tactile than that, can you?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really good family fun game. Anybody can play it. So you've got the tactile markings on the dice, and it's also large print on the dice as well. And the numbers aren't Braille numbers. So even if you can't read Braille, you'll still be able to play this game.
And we can't talk about this game without listening to the toilet flush. This is what it sounds like. That's very good, actually, isn't it? Very realistic.
Yeah, we like to think it adds a little bit of fun to the game.
So, if I've got it right, players are safe if they hear the flushing sound, but no water is sprayed from the toilet. Otherwise, they get wet. And RNIB's adapted version of Toilet Trouble is described as being for 2 or more players aged 4 years and over, and if it's just being played by children, it should only be used under the direct supervision of an adult. The toilet device runs on 2 AA batteries, which are supplied, and the cost is £21. Now, this price excludes VAT because the game has been adapted specifically for blind and partially sighted people, so no VAT is paid on this particular game if bought by a vision impaired person or by someone on their behalf. Instructions are available in audio and braille as well as large print if you request them. And for more information, you can email RNIB's helpline at helpline@rnib.org.uk or phone them on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Oh, go on then. Just once more.
There you go. That's the game you can play at Christmas time with your family. Sounds like good fun. That's Toilet Trouble. This is RNIB Connect Radio's Daily Connect podcast. Thank you so much for downloading. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you on Monday. As always, 10 o'clock live on RNIB Connect Radio, Freeview 7:30, and online at rnibconnectradio.org.uk. Have a great weekend.
The Daily Connect podcast.